Welcome to Success Is Podcast. I'm your host, Phil Portman, serial entrepreneur, author, and podcast host. Whether success for you is more money, time with your family, a healthy, well-balanced life, or freedom, I'm interviewing guests and getting you the advice to make it happen. So join me as we uncomplicate the complicated, help you define success, and give you the strategies to make it happen.
Hello, and welcome back to the Success Is Podcast, where we explore the diverse paths to success and uncover the stories behind extraordinary achievements. I'm your host, Phil Portman. Today, we have the pleasure of sitting down with John St. Pierre, a dynamic entrepreneurship executive, esteemed public speaker, entrepreneur, coach, and the author of the incredible book, The $100 Million Journey. John, it's fantastic to have you here. Thank you for joining us.
Excited to be here. Can't wait for the conversation.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Been looking forward to it ever since I got your book, and I can't wait to dive into that. But let's kick it off with, what does success mean to you?
Yeah, I think success for me really is maximizing life's offerings and experiences. And I would add, for me personally, globally, like seeing them all of life's offerings and experiences that we have here on this great earth, like how do you maximize those? And if you can maximize those, that's success for me.
Awesome. So on your entrepreneurship journey, what inspired you to become an entrepreneur in the first place?
Ooh, you know, I think the inspiration for entrepreneurship happens sometimes subtly, but over time, right? Just continuous. For me, it was when our high school decided to do a fundraising campaign and had us go home with chocolate bars to sell to our neighbors. And I was like, okay, I guess I'll go to the street next to me and the street over and sell some chocolate bars. But the further I got away from home, the less chocolate bars I'd sell because they didn't know who I was. And one night, my father, who was teaching at a Royal Military College in Canada, I had to go grade some papers. And I said, let me go with you. There's some cadet dorms. Let me just kind of walk around the cadet dorms and see if anybody wants any chocolate bars. And within 15 minutes, I was sold out. I learned the concept of supply and demand, right? Here are these cadets who can't have any junk food. They're living in these dorms, craving that kind of stuff. There's two in each room. They wanted to buy like four or five bars at a time so they could stash them for the future. I went back the next night with multiple boxes, sold out again, and ended up winning the fundraising competition in my school and said, okay, what else can I do? And that just spurred on a whole, a decade's worth of entrepreneurial opportunities.
Absolutely. Yeah. Once you get that entrepreneurship bite, especially when it's early on like that, it's hard to describe to people that you can't do anything else. It's just the way that it's kind of the way you're wired, right? So exactly. I want to dive into your book. I want to talk about it. I absolutely loved your book. First and foremost, I love the book recommendations. I mean, it's like, it's like a library for success and just, getting into it. You don't just talk about it. You then reference it, right?
Yeah.
And you tell them, hey, if you want to learn more about this, here's the book, here's a description of it, here's everything about it. And so this branches off to just a whole ton of different areas. And then I love that you talked about insecurity causing a desire for partners in business. I experienced that myself early starting off. I was like, I thought I needed to have partners, along the way. Can you just give us a little kind of overview on like your journey leading up to the writing of the $100 million journey and just kind of walk us through that?
Yeah, for sure. I appreciate you noticing the mention of other books in my book. And to your point, as I was wanting to be an entrepreneur, I would go to other people, go, hey, what book should I read? Or what should I do? And so I was reading hundreds of business books, trying to figure out, this path to entrepreneurship. And then later in my career, it was kind of like, hey, John, what book should I read? And what book would help me with this? And what could help me with that? So definitely loved including a lot of those in mine. But my journey has been a journey of some successes, but also some pretty big failures. And I always had this growth mindset. I always wanted to grow businesses. I was very fascinated, and we're all glamorized as entrepreneurs, of growing these very large businesses, right? A lot of entrepreneurs, see on the news, right? Somebody raised $100 million here, and somebody sold their company for $1 billion over here. And so as an entrepreneur, it's like, I want to be one of those entrepreneurs one day. And so as I chased growing company, sometimes for growth's sake, I found myself in some pretty deep trouble. And, there's one example, Phil, grew a company for over 15 years to north of $50 million in global revenues and got fired from my own company that I had co-founded with my partners. and was like, what just happened? Like, this is 15 years of my life, my identity, my everything, right? The passionate business, the culture I wanted, my best friends in the business, everything was there. And I lost it. And I put myself in a vulnerable position to kind of lose my baby, so to speak, right? This was something I incubated for so long, and I had to pick myself back up and go, what just happened? What am I doing? What does success really look like, to your question, right? What am I trying to achieve in this thing called business as an entrepreneur, and really rewire everything so I could go achieve success the right way?
Yeah. And I love hearing your story. It kind of reminds me of like the frog. You put it in the hot water and it pops off. But if you just slowly turn up the temperature, the frog ends up getting boiled. And yeah. You had like this kind of train wreck that was just building over time. And it was an incredible story. You know, thank you for sharing with us. But one thing that I really took away from your journey is that you were able to duplicate it again, right? You had multiple successes. And I've been an individual in the past where I had a successful business. And then when I sold it, I was like, was that it? Like, did I just hit the jackpot with that one thing? Did I luck out with that? Or is it the strategies and the things that I've implemented? And then when I was able to duplicate it, I saw, okay, it is, you know, I could do this again. And you did that exact same thing. You know, you had the failure, but then boom, you came back and you pulled it off. Do you have a formula for success and for aspiring business owners that are just starting out? Is there something that you tell them, kind of some of your formula for success for doing what you did, which is creating a successful business?
Yeah, no, you know, a lot of entrepreneurs oftentimes are rooted in business because they know how to sell or market a product, right? They have a passion for something, or they built something technically, an innovation, whatever, and they know how to go do that. But how to grow a business from a lifestyle business that's going to pay some bills to a much larger high performance growth business is two different things. And you only sometimes learn these lessons through hard knocks or from other people's stories. And so in the $100 million journey, the book that just came out, you know, I talk about these seven principles of entrepreneurial success. And if you violate any of these seven principles, you can put yourself in a position where you get fired just like I did, or you lose your company, or a company goes so fast, it goes right off the cliff because it can't sustain itself. And it's unfortunate because you have this growing business. Like when we were growing our business from zero, a hobby business that's just started up, to 55 million, people were looking from the outside and going, wow, look at the success story. It's going so well. It must be, you know, this is going to be the best thing since sliced bread. And it was at the time until we fell off the cliff and until we made some of these drastic mistakes that caused us. So yeah, I have these seven principles that I talk about in my book that I think if you violate any of them, you can't build a high performance business. It's just impossible. And you risk, you know, causing damage to the thing you really love and want to create.
Yeah. And I love your quote in there, or I'm sorry, the quote that you printed in there, revenue is vanity, profit is sanity, cash is king and queen.
Yeah.
Phenomenal quote. I wrote it down. I shared it with my team. I just thought it was a great statement, something that I firmly believe in. And not just in business, but in personal life as well. I've had conversations with people and said, hey, you know, it's never the money coming in. It's always the money coming out. I've seen some lower income individuals that have high savings or are doing well. And then I've seen some individuals that are doing very well income wise, but you wouldn't know it, but they're massively in debt and living paycheck to paycheck. And so I think that hits not just from the business standpoint, but from a personal standpoint as well. And is that something you found in your experience?
Yeah. I mean, this is a business book in a way that I wrote, right? But one of the books that I mentioned in the book that you referenced earlier in terms of mentioning books is The Millionaire Next Door, which I'm sure you read when it came out, you know, or, you know, 20 years ago.
Yep.
Right. Did you read that one?
Absolutely. Yep. Absolutely.
Yeah. And it was foundational for me. And it was kind of like, oh, okay, I get it. Like, how are, you know, NBA or NHL player or whatever going bankrupt after a career because they spent all their money, but yet, you know, the teacher and the engineer next door are living their two comma life, right? And they're having that success. And so, you know, one of the things that that quote you mentioned came from Alan Miltz, and Alan wrote the cash section of the book Scaling Up with Vern Harnish. And what he talks about really as it relates to the business is, You know, everybody glamorizes their revenue. I did. Hey, look, we're going to 100 million. Let's go. It's the title of my book because it's glamorized so much, right? Let's build this big business. And then they look at profits and like, okay, that's keeping us sane. We got some profits. That's good. Where's the P&L? Where's the profit and loss statement? Let me look at the profit and loss statement. But what they don't really understand is the profit and loss statement only tells one story, right? And so if you're reading a murder mystery novel and you read the first chapter, you don't know how the book's going to end. But a lot of entrepreneurs measure their performance based on a profit and loss statement, when in reality, there's more behind that. Cash really is king and queen. Do you know your net operating cash flow? Do you know how fast your company can afford to grow? Because if your company can only afford to grow 5% a year, but you're trying to grow 25% a year, where's that other 20% come from? Well, it comes from banks, investors, right? Leverage on your business. You start going down this bad road. It's like, you're kind of creating that system where you can't actually finance your own growth. You just think it's going to all come in play one day. Whether you do that as an individual or a business, you can land yourself in big trouble.
Absolutely. So you talk in your book about mentorships, and you've had some great mentors. Can you talk a little bit about the role that mentorship has played in your career? And is that something that you still continue to seek guidance and support as you progress?
Yeah, it's one of our principles in the book. It's principle 5. It's called protect the house. And what I mean by that is, what are you doing to protect your business, protect you through this journey? And certainly one of those is a mentor and coach. I know I mentor and coach entrepreneurs one-on-one and help them through their journey through my learnings. I have a coach and mentor that has worked with me, but it doesn't just stop there. Do you have the right CPA for your business? You'd be surprised, Phil, the amount of entrepreneurs I speak to that are still working with the mom and pop, a bookkeeping service to do their taxes, but they're now a $20 million business or a $10 million business. They progress, but they don't have the right advisement, right? Are you surrounding yourself with world-class advisors and protectors in all areas? Legal, insurance, wealth management, back to the accountant, CPA side of things, coaches, mentors. Once you build that team, it's another book I reference, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, right? He always talked about, don't be penny wise and dollar foolish. Pay for the right advisors to surround yourself. Pay for world-class advisors to surround yourself and you'll start living a different life. And I didn't actually realize I was cheap John, right? I'm not paying for that. That's way too much money. How much are you charging me for my taxes? I'm not doing that. I'm going to go to H&R Block and get my taxes done. It wasn't until I started making some real money in our businesses where I started going, holy cow, you can do this for me? You can help me here? And I started protecting the golden goose that I was building. Because if you don't protect yourself with these advisors, you're in big trouble. And I'll just say one last thing on that. Today, in our businesses, we do not make one major decision. If there's a major decision to make, we do not make one major decision without all of the board of advisors and protectors unanimously agreeing this is the right way to go. And when I lost the business I told you in the past, I made those decisions myself. I was like, let's do it. Let's go. Let's do this. And I didn't have those advisors around me.
Yeah, absolutely. So how do you cultivate a mindset of continuous learning and growth, both personally and professionally?
Yeah. Well, I think that stems from what are you trying to achieve, right? From an individual perspective, I'm definitely a sharpen the saw person. I listen to podcasts like yours. I go to YouTube all the time. I'm always trying to learn. That fits part of what I want to achieve in life, right? I want to continue to progress. One of my core values is continuous improvement. I just always want to seek to get better in everything I do. So it has to be driven from your internal, soul here. What are you trying to achieve to drive yourself to get there? But if you want to grow, whether you're an intrapreneur working in a business or an entrepreneur running your business, are you taking the time to sharpen your own saw? Are you taking the time to educate yourself in these different areas? Do you take time for yourself to think? Like so many entrepreneurs I work with, I don't know about you, but like they don't even spend 2 minutes to think for themselves. Their sleeves are rolled up and they're shoveling crap in the business, right? They're working in the business. They can't work on the business. When am I going to work on the business? I don't have time to work on the business. I got to take care of this business issue, right? So they don't take care of themselves. They don't take the time to think. They can't actually work on continuous learning and growth. So entrepreneurs have to give themselves that room to maybe sometimes slow down to be able to grow professionally and personally as well. And think.
I couldn't agree with you more. I always said that the largest growth that I ever saw in my career was when I allowed myself to step away and do less and spend more time thinking.
Yes.
When I started off my entrepreneurship, it was work, 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 keep busy, keep busy, keep busy. And then you have to make that I had to make that transition eventually of like stepping back, because I was so caught up in being busy. I was in the weeds and had no idea what was going on in my business.
Yeah. It's a lot easier said than done though, isn't it?
It is, because it feels unnatural, right? Like it feels unnatural to not be involved in your business, but it's not healthy. And you know what? The biggest eye opener for me was when I was hearing from my employees how they were stressed out from working on the weekends and after hours and all this stuff. I said, why are you doing that? Well, because you're doing it, Phil. You're doing it. You know what I'm saying? And I was setting that example for them. And it was crazy to me. But is this something that when you're coaching other entrepreneurs that they're experiencing as well?
Yeah, I'm chuckling because I remember hearing that same thing from one of our team members, right? Which was like, well, I feel like I have to work on the weekends. I'm getting emails from you on the weekend asking me for things. And I'm kind of, and actually then I found Boomerang. I don't know if you ever used Boomerang or not, but you know, Google has it in Gmail itself, where I when I send emails at night or on a weekend, I actually program it to go up Monday morning at 8. Because I always got to be, I'm not going to stop. I'm going to be who I am. But why am I pushing my stuff on you to make you now get, you know, so just a funny chuckle. But yeah, I mean, I think a lot of entrepreneurs and people that work within their businesses, right, sometimes just don't take that time to step back and realize, you know, what the protocol is here and what they should be doing and how it's communicating, what the expectations are. It's just all really important to get that on, like those guidelines down, to protect everybody within the business, but also allow everybody else to grow. Like if you're just keeping shoveling stuff down your team's throat all day long, they're not growing either. When are you taking time to give them the space to grow and learn and sharpen their saw as well?
Yeah, no, it's funny you mentioned that. It's a different tool, but I schedule my messages all to go out Monday morning. And there's this one that even you can schedule when they're back online that I use and stuff.
Oh, nice.
I use a little bit of that. Exactly the same. Sometimes I just get an idea. I got to communicate it, but I don't want to, you know, mess up that work-life balance they have going.
So, exactly.
Are there any emerging trends or industries that you're particularly excited about?
Well, I have to say AI. You know, if I didn't, people would be scratching their heads right now. And the way I'm looking at it feels a little bit different than the way I started looking at it. And the phrase that hit me, it was from Dr. Luke Wilson from Austin. And he said, look, every employee you have should have an employee. And I'm like, what do you mean? You should figure out every function, every employee in your business, whatever they're doing, give them additional tools with AI that in essence, you know, grows their operational capacity, right? Their capacity to actually produce whatever they're doing. There are tools out there for so many functions. And like even this morning, we have a contracting business and we were looking at an estimating AI tool that can do estimates in seconds, not hours. And really, you know, one estimator can pop out X amount of estimates versus now you need to hire a ton more people, right? So how do you get more operational capacity? And then the fear comes in, well, wait, is AI going to just replace us all? Like what's going on here? But from a business perspective, you know, how do you create more operational capacity through your team to output more? Is absolutely a trend that everybody should be jumping on right now. But it goes back to the aforementioned point. When is an entrepreneur taking the time to actually do research on AI when they're so busy working in their business? So they work busy as opposed to smart. And that cycle just kind of continues. So working with entrepreneurs right now and really seeking out tools that can build operational capacity with AI.
Absolutely. So, and I heard somebody was talking about in school, and they said, you know, with the students, their big concern is the students cheating with AI.
Yeah.
And in this article, they were saying they're looking at it from the wrong perspective. They should be encouraging their students to use AI as part of the lesson program because it's inevitable. When they get out into the real world, they're going to be using it, yeah. You know? Yeah. I'm curious on the educational system, being somebody who obviously traditional education, but you have also been self-educated through entrepreneurship. And I know your dad kind of sent you on a path that ended up, you know, working out for you, but would like to hear your thoughts on traditional education as it relates to entrepreneurship specifically.
Yeah. Critical thinking, right? How do we improve critical thinking? I think anybody at this point would say we got a little bit of a problem with the traditional educational system. It's a little bit antiquated, right, from where we are today. And if I want to find out how to do something, I put it on YouTube or I put it on Google and I figure it out. If I need to translate something in any language, I can translate it. I don't need to learn all these languages, right? It's kind of the thought process. But if you think about critical thinking, and again, I'm going to reference Dr. Luke Wilson back to the AI conversation. You know, he said, you know, the big thing that humans need to learn, whether it's AI or not, is what questions are they asking? And if you think about that, Phil, just think about it from a personal perspective, right? Think about it from a mindset perspective. Whatever questions I'm asking myself is what I'm going to get, right? That's mindset performance 101, right? And so if you go onto AI and you go to ChatGPT 4 or 5 and you're like, whatever question you're asking is what you're going to get back. And the same thing goes if I go to a networking event and I see you, whatever question I ask you is kind of what I'm going to get back. And so I think from a critical thinking perspective, I think humans are going to have to learn more on what is the question. It goes back to maybe a little bit of Jeopardy, right? But you know, that's going to be a really important part. And the human element to being human is going to accelerate. So how are schools, to go back to the educational question, allowing the students to think critically, ask the right questions, build relationships, work on projects where they're working together as a team, and you can't just ask AI a question and submit it. Like all those things are going to become more and more and more important in the human element.
Absolutely. Yeah, for sure. I am fascinated by the direction that we're taking specifically with AI. A couple of weeks ago, I went to and had a full body MRI done on me. I'm not sure if you've seen this at all, but it's fascinating. Yeah. The whole point of it is early detection.
Yes.
And 2 days later, I had the full results from the MRI. And they said, hey, these are things you should watch out for, you know, take a look at. And it is a medical field, I think, is just incredible what's going to happen with AI. But only if people embrace it. You know, if you are pushing back against something that's happening, to me, it's like, no, I'm going to keep mailing out letters instead of using email. Right. Yeah. No, I'm going to keep using my secretary to type things up on a typewriter instead of, you know, jumping on a computer and using the internet and stuff. I feel like the more you're resisting it, the more you're going to get left behind because it's inevitably going to be taking over everything.
Yeah, there's no question. I mean, and I'm not sure which company you use, but we had Dr. Bill Kapp from Fountain Life come talk to us at one of our entrepreneurs experiences in Austin. And my wife actually went through that experience as well in terms of, hey, let's go for an early detection, see what's going on, right? And I read Tony Robbins' book, Life Force. Did you read that book by any chance?
I haven't.
You should put that on your list. Yeah, it's a big one. It's a big one. But you know, the book is really about health span and lifespan, right? Our kids may live to their 120, 130. Heck, we may live to 120, 130 because it's either a software problem or a hardware problem. But then you go to the doctor, like I have my physical coming up and they're going to take the little thing on my knee to see if my reflexes are here and look down my throat and go, okay, you're good for another year, right? We don't know what's going on in the hardware or software. We have to figure that out. And if you can figure it out early, all the power. I mean, I've actually, since that talk, I've completely changed my tune. When somebody comes to me and says, hey, I have early detection of cancer, I'm like, oh my, thank God. Great, great job going to figure that out. You know, a month prior to hearing that talk, I would have been like, oh, I'm so sorry. Oh, I feel so bad. What can I do? Like, I'd feel horrible. Now I'm like, yeah, go find that. Like, let's get rid of it. Let's go. Right. That's what I think that's changing. And AI is going to really, really help the advancement of that to really accelerate. How do we improve our hardware and software so we can live longer and live healthier?
Yeah, absolutely. And when I posted about it, because I posted my results online, everything about it on social, that was the reaction I got. What's wrong? What's going on with you? Why are you getting this done? Nothing. I'm incredibly healthy. Yeah. But I think this is the future we're looking for. When you even describe like the hitting the knee and stuff, I'm like, that sounds like, you know, 1800s, you know, early 1900s type stuff they're doing. And they're still doing it today, right? Yeah. What advancements have we really made in this? And that's why I think AI is really exciting because it's going to be bringing that in. They've already shown that it can read MRIs and x-rays better than the technicians. It's finding things in there that they can't even see.
That's right.
So inevitably, you know, the future is going to be pretty amazing as these things come out. Do you have any fear of AI?
No.
No.
I don't have any personal fears. I think it's going to get really dicey. I think it's going to get really, really interesting in the next decade. you know, the talks of everybody's not going to have an employee. They're going to have a robot physically next to them doing stuff like that kind of stuff kind of freaks me out a little bit. But I do think as a society, we'll move forward. And you know, the best thing I heard about that, which takes us really into a whole different type of conversation, right, is, you know, hey, you know, were the dinosaurs afraid of humans, or was it just evolution? Like, that kind of thing, right? And so there's going to be an evolution piece here, and people are already living with parts of AI in their bodies, and that's going to keep changing. And so it's going to be really, really interesting. It's going to get really, really dicey. But who knows? We may be on Mars by then, and have a different planet we can, you know, bring our robots to. So who knows what's going to happen?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, hey, it was a pleasure talking to you today. For everyone listening in the audience, how do they get in hold of you? How do they get in touch with you, follow what you got going on, get your book and everything else?
Yeah, no, thanks for that. The website is 100M Journey. So 100M is in million journey.com. And all my social are on there. I do have a workbook that goes along with the book, The $100 Million Journey, that's for free on there. You can go access some videos, or you can connect with me on social at John St. Pierre 100.
And thank you so much, John, for joining us. And for our audience, an amazing book. Being somebody who is an entrepreneur myself, has started several million-dollar companies myself, I can tell you I took away a lot from this book, a lot of lessons. So if you have aspirations of starting your own business, or you're in business now and you want to take to the next level, this book is amazing. Not only from the content and the stories that he provides in it, but also all of the book recommendations and just the expert recommendations in it. It's an amazing, incredible book. So thank you so much, John, for joining us. And for our audience, we'll see you guys next time.
Thanks, Phil.